All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Peyton Doyle Show. I'm Peyton Doyle, host of the Peyton Doyle Show. Hope you all are having a fantastic day today. I am back. I'm finally back home where I am in the Peyton Doyle studio once again. It feels great to be back. Really does. I missed it. You know, it was hard recording in basements and hotel rooms for the past few weeks. But today, I'm going to talk about Deshaun Watson and the latest on him potentially wanting a trade away from the Houston Texans. That was big over the past week. The Eagles firing head coach Doug Peterson and what that may mean for their quarterback situation. Is it going to be Hurts? Is it going to be Wentz? I'll also rank every head coaching opening from most to least interesting. But first, I'm going to recap wildcard weekend. Let's recap that crazy Browns and Steelers game that just happened. I know you guys have been waiting for me to talk about this. I know. You want to hear the Browns fan talk. I know you want to hear it. Here's my take from it. All I've got to say is, Pittsburgh, do you have some problems? Pittsburgh has a running their mouth problem. Before the game, wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster claimed that that the Browns were the same old Browns and that they were the same Browns team he's played for his whole career. And that the Browns players are just nameless gray faces. That's what he said. He said, the Browns is just the Browns. Real good grammar there, Juju. And that certainly fueled the fire in the Browns because they scored 28 points in the first quarter and completely blew out the Steelers. By the way, those 28 points scored in the first quarter were the most points scored in any quarter in postseason history. There you go. Browns making postseason history. How about it? So what is Juju doing on the field while the Browns are currently blowing them out in their stadium in a playoff game in the fourth quarter? He's dancing. I mean, look at those dance moves. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with it if he was winning the game. If you want to dance on the field fourth quarter, fine. If you're winning, go right ahead. Go do it. But my goodness, Juju. I mean, you look like a clown, dude. You look like a joke. You've become the biggest joke in the NFL, and your production is even more of a joke than your antics. So then let's look at the other receiver. Let's look at Chase Claypool, the rookie. I haven't even started on him yet. The Steelers were losing the game by 19 points with 1 minute and 10 seconds left in the game. Chase Claypool caught the most meaningless touchdown in garbage time. So the appropriate response would be to just give the ball to the ref, you know, maybe give a teammate a high five or two. But, you know, certainly you wouldn't spike the ball and get in the defender's face, right? Because that wouldn't make sense because you're losing by 19. You just scored a meaningless touchdown in a playoff game. You just got blown out, right? I mean, that wouldn't make no sense. Well, that's exactly what he did. He spiked the ball, got in the defender's face, and guys, I can't make this up. I mean, they are classless there in Pittsburgh right now. And after the game, you know, what does Chase Claypool do? He doesn't, you know, congratulate the Browns, say, hey, listen, they had a nice game. They played good. Because that's what Juju did. I'll give Juju credit. He did say, listen, I'm not going to take back what I said, which, you know, I think he should because obviously he was wrong. But he said, you know, the Browns, they played a great game, and that was that. But what does Chase Claypool do? He goes on TikTok Live, of course, since they're more obsessed with TikTok in Pittsburgh than the typical teenage girl you might find. And Claypool, he goes on there and says that their loss to the Browns was okay because the Browns are going to get clapped next week. What's that? You don't believe me? Because there's no way a professional athlete could say something that stupid after getting embarrassed in the playoffs? Watch this.
You know, bad loss, but Browns are going to get clapped next week, so it's all good.
Yeah, Chase. Have fun watching from your couch, my man. I'm sure you'll have a blast, you know, eating Tostitos on your couch watching it. Have fun. How about this for an interesting stat? Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars have more wins in the playoffs than Big Ben and the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers do since 2017. I mean, seriously, guys, Pittsburgh got away from what they once were. Hardworking, respectable, tough. Now they're whiny babies that babble more than a child on five-hour energy. They can no longer back their words up with their actions. Now, on the other side of that game, congrats to the Cleveland Browns. They finally did it. The Browns won a playoff game. This was the Browns' first road victory in the playoffs since 1969. Whether or not the Browns lose on divisional round this Sunday against the Chiefs, people have to respect the Browns after fighting through what they fought through and beating all the odds. The Browns certainly belong here, and nobody can dispute that. Baker Mayfield did prove that he's a quality starting quarterback in the league. I said he was going to preseason, and he did. Kevin Stefanski made a perfect offense for him, and it worked. And speaking of Kevin Stefanski, he is easily the coach of the year. There is no questions about that. I don't know how you can dispute that. He has the most wins out of any Browns head coach in their first season with the team, including the great Paul Brown. Now, I understand they played less games back then, but still, that is pretty significant. And the Browns, they have the best backfield in the NFL and a top three offensive line. The Browns, they do have hope going into this Sunday as well. I wouldn't completely count them out. While a Browns win is certainly not probable on Sunday, it certainly is possible. The Chiefs, they have been playing teams extremely close recently, and the Browns are expected to have their secondary back and their offensive line back to full strength. If the Browns play their game and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hand by running the ball and controlling that clock, the Browns could win a close game against the Chiefs. Now, however, there's no way that the Browns can win a shootout with the Chiefs. That is not plausible whatsoever. The Browns need to execute their game plan because there's no way I could see them beating Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes at their own game. But regardless of what happens, we have to think of the Browns as playoff contenders year in and year out from now on, whether you like it or not. So another thing I was right about, Lamar Jackson got his first playoff win. Something that he really needed just to silence critics. He had a tremendous game against the Titans. He ran all over them and just played like Lamar. He was running and just playing his game. He was doing his thing. I do think that Lamar still has to progress at passing outside the numbers and a little bit on the deep ball. But I think that we have to appreciate Lamar for what he is from now on. Whether you like it or not, he's great. But it's in his own unique way. We have to look at Lamar and say that the reason that he is so great is because he's truly nothing like anything we've ever seen before. Lamar is not a traditional quarterback, and he probably never will be. But he doesn't need to be because he's great regardless. And he is in a situation that supports him and his style of play and loves him. Great culture around him in Baltimore. Lamar showed us last week that there's nothing to worry about, and he can win in the playoffs. I still like Josh Allen and the Bills this Sunday, though, however. Josh Allen is the best quarterback against the blitz this year, and the Ravens love to blitz people, so I don't think that they will be able to stop Josh Allen in this Bills offense. But big win for Lamar. Congrats to him. So now, in other news, Houston, we have a problem. No. Not talking about James Harden getting traded to the Nets. There's another superstar player who doesn't want to play in Houston anymore. Deshaun Watson wants to go. The Texans have been trying to get in contact with Watson, and they haven't been able to reach him. It's clear and obvious that Deshaun Watson would like to leave Houston, but the question is, where will he go? San Francisco would be a good fit. You know, it's obvious they don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. They're back-to-back years of wanting to give up on him. The Bears could ironically end up with Watson after passing up on him for Mitch Trubisky in that year's draft. Maybe Pittsburgh or New Orleans with aging quarterbacks. That would be a nice system. Those would all be good fits. And honestly, Deshaun Watson would be an instant upgrade at quarterback for all but about three or four teams. But there's one Deshaun Watson trade rumor that just sticks out to me. According to Chris Mortensen, Deshaun Watson would waive his no-trade clause if he was to be traded to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are the perfect fit for Deshaun Watson, and they also have the most draft capital to be able to make a trade and give up a young quarterback, you know, to make a fair trade for Deshaun Watson. I think that the Texans should take the Dolphins 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick and Tua. If I'm the Dolphins, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I'd give up even 3 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks and Tua for Deshaun Watson if I was the Dolphins. I think that Deshaun Watson is that great. He is generational. I think he's a top 5 quarterback in this league, and that's an understatement. He might not even be top 3. That's the max I'd give up for Deshaun Watson, though, if I'm the Dolphins. But I also think that's the best deal that I think anyone can give for Watson. If they ask for Xavien Howard, don't give up Xavien Howard. That's the most I'm giving up. I'm not giving up Xavien Howard or anybody on that defense. And I understand people are going to be like, well, why do you want to give up on Tua? You know, listen, I understand. Tua is still young. He has room to grow. But Tua, you know, Tua didn't show me anything special. He didn't show you anything special. He didn't show anyone anything special this season. Watson does everything extraordinarily well. Deshaun Watson on the Dolphins makes them immediate contenders in the AFC with the Bills and the Chiefs. I said it before earlier in the season, Deshaun Watson needs to get out of Houston. Things are not going well. And I think the best fit for Deshaun Watson is to go to Miami. So Doug Peterson has officially been fired by the Philadelphia Eagles. Apparently, him and management were not on the same page. Doug Peterson was reportedly tired of being told what to do by management. And then there was a huge dispute about Peterson apparently wanting to move forward with Jalen Hurts as a starting quarterback rather than Carson Wentz. And the front office apparently isn't ready to do that. What a mess in Philly. This team is a team that won a Super Bowl 3 seasons ago, and now they're just a dysfunctional and they don't even know what they're doing in that organization. They don't know what direction they're going to go in. They don't know what's going on. And according to some sources, the chances of Carson Wentz remaining in Philly this year is now higher than it was before, now that Doug Peterson has been fired. I do not think that Philly should keep Carson Wentz as their quarterback. I think that it's time for Carson Wentz to be, you know, somewhere else. The time for Carson Wentz to be the Eagles franchise quarterback, that time is up. That time is gone, and that window has closed. I feel like as much as the Eagles shouldn't want Wentz, Wentz shouldn't want the Eagles. Wentz should really want to be traded to the Colts. I don't think that Phillip Rivers is going to come back, and this is the perfect chance for Carson Wentz to get out of an awful situation in Philly where they aren't even 100% committed to him, and go to Indianapolis where there's a drastic improvement in O-line, defense, and running game, and he can reunite with his good friend Frank Wright, who is part of, you know, his great success in that 2017 season before he got hurt. The Eagles and their head coaching search have reportedly reached out to Lincoln Riley, who is the head coach at Oklahoma, which is where Jalen Hurts transferred in college after playing in Alabama, and then performed very well with him as his head coach in his senior year. But honestly, I don't know why anyone would want this Philadelphia job. It's an extremely dysfunctional situation. They have the second to least cap room in the NFL. There's no offensive line. They don't have a lot of draft capital. And even if they did, they have been drafting terribly recently. That is not a desirable head coaching job. And I think Carson Wentz needs to go. I think there's big, big changes that need to be made in Philly. They are a mess for a team that was just in the Super Bowl. Just in the Super Bowl. And just won the Super Bowl a few years ago. It's a big mess. Also, those statues outside of Lincoln Financial Field didn't age well with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. Life really comes at you fast, man. Things change really quick in the NFL. That's why we love this sport. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty exciting. And we always have something to talk about here. This is going to lead me into my final segment of the show. I'm going to rank the 7 head coaching vacancies in the NFL from least desirable to most desirable. The least desirable job has to be the Eagles. Like I said, the Eagles have the second fewest cap space in the league. They aren't sure who their franchise quarterback is going to be because, honestly, both of them they didn't look like they were the guy last year. Both of them struggled a lot at points. And the organization is controlling and probably won't give you the freedom to make the choices that you want to make if you're the head coach. The talent on the team is awful. Not high in the Eagles' job at all, obviously. They'll find somebody because, you know, someone's going to want to be a head coach. If they offered me the job, I'd take it for sure. But I don't see it being attractive to top-tier candidates like Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh, or Urban Meyer, or anything like that. Next is the Houston Texans. You have multiple players who don't want to be there, including Deshaun Watson now. The Texans organization hasn't been really good ever, so you have no QB, and now you have no draft picks because Bill O'Brien traded all of them for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, and Houston is also in a cap nightmare as well. The Texans are also an aging team. They have the second highest average age of players in the league on their roster. So they're an aging team. They have no cap room. They have no draft picks. The Texans don't appeal to me at all. And that organization has been bad since they've entered the league as an expansion team. And I'm sure they don't appeal to other candidates as well. Next up, another unappealing one is the Detroit Lions. They do have a little bit of cap space. That's the really only thing going for them. But the problem is that they have no true answer at quarterback. And the rumor is that Matthew Stafford is going to want to get traded because he doesn't want, you know, to have to go through another rebuild with the Lions. Because honestly, that's what they've been doing for basically his entire career is rebuilding around him like every other year. It just has been a mess for his career there. So he certainly is going to want out there. I say you trade him, you get some draft picks and move on. So you have no quarterback and you're not exactly in a winning culture. And Detroit also isn't necessarily a place where people are looking forward to moving to. So you'll have a hard time getting top level to mid-tier free agents, which hurts a lot as well. So Detroit, you basically have no quarterback. And even if you do, there's plenty of other things that need to drastically improve, like their defense and their offensive line. I do like DeAndre Swift and Kenny Galladay, though. I'll give you that. But everything else is just kind of a mess in Detroit. It always has been, as long as I've been alive, at least. Then I have Atlanta. It's almost been 5 years since they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, and they have never recovered. I mean, they have never recovered after that. Matt Ryan won the MVP, and everything was just downhill ever since. They have the third least amount of cap space going into the offseason, so that's not very good news. But what you do have going for you in Atlanta is the number 4 overall pick. So either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson will fall to you. So you'll be getting one of the top 2 quarterbacks outside of Trevor Lawrence in the draft. Then you can package Julio Jones and Matt Ryan in a trade for a lot of picks because they still have, you know, some trade value for sure. And you could use those picks to take offensive linemen and defensive players where there are some holes. But the best part about the Atlanta job is that you're in position to get the quarterback that you want. Now, we're getting into the real interesting jobs here. These are the top 3 head coaching vacancies this year. I think these are teams that have the best cases for top head coaching candidates. At number 3, I have the New York Jets. This is an unpopular one. The Jets have tons of cap space going into the offseason. The Jets have the 3rd most amount of cap space in the league this offseason. So they have tons of money to spend. So you can sign top free agents. Plus, it's New York. And people love to live in New York. And I know it's the Jets and the Giants seem like the more appealing New York team to go to. But look at the NBA and look at the Brooklyn Nets. Stars are willing to go to the Nets rather than the Knicks, even though it's kind of the little brother New York team because they're getting paid and they have a plan. The Jets have the money to pay top dollar for big name guys. They also have enough money to fix their offensive line and maybe sign a running back. Then another thing about the Jets job is that you have the freedom to choose your quarterback. You get the guy you want. If you want Sam Darnold, you could keep him and draft Penei Sewell from Oregon with the 2nd overall pick, or you could trade down if you aren't sold on him. If you want to move on from Darnold, you could trade him for some picks and use the 2nd overall pick to draft the quarterback that you want. The Jets are in a good position to have a big offseason, in my opinion. Now at number 2, I have the Chargers. The Chargers actually have the best record out of any team that needs a new head coach this year at 7-9. There's a comfort feeling in the Chargers job, in my opinion. They're the best overall team that you would be inheriting. They have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, a good defense with Joey Bosa. This team wasn't gelled together last year for whatever reason. There were injuries on the offensive line and the running backs group with Austin Ekeler going down for most of the year. We all know that. They had a lot of injuries, and they just weren't playing hard games together. Plus, they had a lot of one-possession losses that if the Chargers won half of those games, they would have made the playoffs. That can be changed with better coaching. Then on top of all of that, the most comforting thing about the Chargers job is Justin Herbert, right? I mean, you're inheriting a franchise quarterback, a guy who has immediately been producing in this league and has displayed wild amounts of talent, and he was just a rookie this year. So the Chargers are the best team that a head coaching candidate would inherit if they took the job, the best overall roster. Now, the best head coaching opening was the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they just hired Urban Meyer today. But I think that Urban Meyer is in the best position of any new head coach this year. The Jaguars, they have the most amount of cap space out of any team in the NFL right now by a lot, by almost $10 million. And they have the draft picks. The Jags have four draft picks and the top 45 picks this year in this year's draft, including the number one overall pick, which means the drafting rights to Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, you have the most sought after quarterback since Andrew Luck, maybe even Peyton Manning. You have a promising young running back with James Robinson, who was great as a rookie last year. And then you have DJ Chark, who played well while he was healthy. And another solid wide receiver, Laviska Shenault, who, when he was healthy, played pretty well as a rookie. This is a Jaguars organization that isn't that bad, honestly. They're a young team. So they don't have time. They don't have time to have true history like all these other organizations, but they have won big playoff games before. They beat Dan Marino's Dolphins in the playoffs 62-7 in Marino's final game. And they made two AFC championship games before in their team's history. That second appearance came in 2017. Like I said before, the Jaguars have more playoff wins since 2017 than the Steelers. This is an underrated organization. I do believe that because it's not in a big market. And the organization hasn't been around long enough to have those historical moments that all of the well-respected organizations do around the league. Plus, in Jacksonville, you have an owner in Shad Khan who loves to spend money. I'm sure Shad Khan is going to be more than willing to spend money this offseason to help a young Trevor Lawrence for sure. And he has plenty of cap space to be able to do so. Urban Meyer just got the best head coaching job available. And if he screws this up, he flat out cannot coach in the NFL, that's for sure. So that's it. Thank you all so much for watching and or listening. Please make sure to follow the show on social media if you haven't already, at Peyton Doyle Show. That is at Peyton Doyle Show. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you all so much for watching. Please make sure to like, follow, or subscribe wherever you may be watching and or listening. And please make sure to stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you.